I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call today, especially those who may not be members of Harlem Heights or members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that you're a very honored and distinguished guest of the call. We hope you got your Bible, got it open, as we'll study for a few minutes this afternoon from the book of Ephesians. You're on the call, you have not been saved, you need to understand, you must believe that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchases church, the Church of Christ, only when you read about it in the Bible. And to be saved, you just must do it the way God has said do it, and everything will be all right. But we must stick with what he said do. And Jesus gave the Great Commission, as we call it, that we are to go in the world and preach this gospel, death, burial, and resurrection story of a suffering Savior. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's how you become a member of the Lord's church. And visiting with us from other congregations, we appreciate you being on the call as well. We hope you would also feel welcome to our call anytime you want to join us in a study of the Word of God. A few minutes this afternoon, we've been looking at Ephesians from the angle of what Christians should know. The Ephesian Christians, Paul was talking to them. We've been looking at spiritual blessings. We looked at the Christian, we looked at the mystery of the will that was for Christians. We looked at those who were dead and trespassed sins and how they came out of it, when they came into Christ. We looked at the fellowship of the mystery where Jews and Gentiles all were coming to one body in the church. Then Paul talked about how he bowed his knees, how the Christians were praying, how he prayed. And then we talked last week about how we walk worthy of this heavenly calling. And this senior for a few minutes afternoon that we entitled this lesson that he may feel all things. He may feel. We start in verse number 8. The Bible says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity, and gave gifts unto men. Yeah, we're simply talking about Christ when he descended, came down from heaven, and ascended back up to heaven. This is a quote. Psalm the 68th division, verse 18. But while he was here, he was on a mission. He left captivity captive. Speaking of the curses of the old law and sin, in prison captive Peter. But he took care of sin by dying on the cross and death by sin. And that's why Paul said the wages of sin is death. So there was something Jesus had to come to. And he did that. When he came down and gave his life on Calvary, and that's where he started the new system of law. That's where he dealt. He became sin for us. He gave us all this hope, the world, the hope to have eternal life and avoid spiritual death. In verse 9, he says, he gave gifts unto me, and we'll pick that up in verse 11 to see those gifts. In verse 9, he said, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Still talking about Jesus. He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might, there it is right there, that he might feel all things. So he had to come down to feel all things. And he came down to do his Father's will. And then he ascended back into heaven, above all heavens, meaning that there's something called the third of heaven. But when you look at the sky, that's also called heaven. So this is above all heaven. But when he came down, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, the Bible says there, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, oh my God, the Father, sent him on the right hand in heavenly places. There it is. That's the heaven we want to get to. For above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, watch this, had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. Here's the emphasis here, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here's that feel again. So he was taking care of the mission of God, was him to come and die for the sins of man, and he brought us all into unity, into one church, and to feel these things, we had to be in the church. It had to be in the church. Now, when you looked at that he might feel all things. This means that he might feel all things by his teaching, by his influence, and by his leadership as Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cross that we've just seen. When he died, he was dying for the church to bring us all into that unity of the body. And that in the church is where everything would take place for the Christian to be saved. He would fill all things in the church. Now watch what he put in the church. And there you come the gifts. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. All this was established in his coming, in his teaching. He gave, Christ gave this, these offices to these particular different people for the purpose of filling the needs of the church. It's very important for us to know. Now, we know the apostles were there with him. Those were the men who was chosen by Jesus. And these men then would continue the teachings of Christ throughout the New Testament. And we call that the doctrine or teachings of Christ. We also call that the apostle doctrine. So they had a charge that you and I don't have. There are no more apostles living today, even though there are some who say they are. But Christ gave these apostles to set them in the church because they had to complete this New Testament that you and I are reading today. It was written by the apostles. And they were guided in by the Holy Spirit. So these men came in part of that filling. The apostles had to do their part. And then he came in some prophets. Those prophets were those who would tell of the future. And then the apostles, of course, could do that as well. And they could teach the prophecies that are of the New Testament. And all that was completed. And he used miracles and signs. A lot of things were done back then until the Bible itself was completed. And then he gave some evangelists, such as Philip in Acts 8, verse 4 through 12, Acts 21, 8. Then Titus and Timothy also were known as evangelists. And evangelists had a particular role that the prophets and apostles didn't have necessarily. But their role was to preach their gospel, to ordain elders, and to teach the doctrine of Christ. Basically, the evangelist is not a pastor, but evangelist can be a pastor. But an evangelist has Titus and Timothy, and Philip and them was just preaching the office to preach this gospel. Like, that's what I am. I'm an evangelist. I'm not a pastor of the church. And that came next. He put pastors in, and we know pastors, for those of us been in the Lord's church for a while, we know those men are always been in a plurality, pastors, men known as elders, bishops. They labored in word and doctrine. They had to meet qualifications, such as the husband of one wife. These offices are in place for the apostles. He is filling them. He put the prophets in place, put the evangelists in place, pastors and teachers also. Why did he do all this? He came to fill all things that we're talking about the scene. So as Christians, what you want to get from this lesson is that did Christ leave us everything we needed? Did he fill everything in the church to get to heaven? Yes? So verse 12, also, here's the purpose of these offices. For the perfect and maturing of saints, the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of saints. So those are Christians, and that's us, you all. We, those who have obeyed the gospel, been in the church. Well, God, Christ put these officers in the church, these teachers in the church, these evangelists in the church, to help us grow to maturity. And also to know what the work of the ministry was, to carry out the various works assigned to the church. The primary mission of the church is to save souls. We understand that. What is the purpose of us studying this book, this book of Ephesians, to learn what God's expectations are for us as we are members of the body of Christ? He came to fuel the church. He filled it with everything you need for the purpose of us being growing in maturity, for us to be the work of the ministry, and then to be edified, to be encouraged. That's why it's so important that all of us know that we're all in this body together, and we're in this body, and we have to be there for each other. Every one of us, as we are growing Christians, we need to grow in all the evangelists, teachers, and pastors are all in place to help us get there so that we can carry out this work and that we be encouraged as we carry out the work of the church. It was all intended. Everything we came to feel was to give us everything we need to make heaven a home. He says, here's another reason they're there. Verse 13. We would need these officers. We would need these teachers, pastors. Of course, we needed the apostles as well, prophets. And again, Ptolemy was complete. But now, he said, till we all come into unity, notice this, of the faith, and here's a conjunction, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect maturity, man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. So how long will we need this? How long will we need what he put in the church, what he filled in the church there? Well, how long will we need? He says, he's teaching us, till we come, till we all, speaking of Christians, come to the unity of the faith, bringing us to unity. These officers are given order that we may come to a goal of being unified. And that's why in Ephesians 3 we looked at, he brought the Christian, the Jew and Gentile into the body, that we all be one. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, when his prayer before he left was that we all. He came to bring us in to be one, not to be divided up. It's not like we see today where Christians all divided up on teachings and things of that nature. That wasn't what he came to feel. He came to feel to give the church with everything he needed to stay in unity of this one belief system called faith. We know it as the teachings of Christ or the doctrine of Christ. So that's what he was doing there. And then he says, not only being united in our belief based on what we're taught by the evangelists and what the apostles wrote, and the prophets gave us, we use that information, we call it the Bible, and we use it to stay in unity. So there'll be no divisions among us. As 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said there should not be no division among us, and because we are to stay here, if we all do what the scriptures say in every church of Christ, we deal with the scriptures, we will stand in unity of the beliefs. And he conjunction there with something else. I want to put a little bit more time in on it. That is the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Full unity of faith. We have to understand that we have to have knowledge. He gave us everything we needed to have this knowledge that we need. When he came, he descended down, and when he ascended back up, he left everything that we would need to know about the belief, the unity, to think alike, and to know of the Son of God. That's what he gave us. Now, he says here, that unto a perfect man. So it's going to take unity and knowledge to take us to that mature Christian. And then he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He did it for this purpose. The measure, the stature, this expresses the idea, it refers to the growth of a man. The stature to be attained by us was that our size, our standard in moral character, in the way we live, we can find that measure in Christ. We're to grow as Christians to become like Christ, to become Christ-like, to love the world, to love the love, to be kind, to be gentle, to be long-suffering, to have this moral character. But if we don't learn, if we don't have the unity of the knowledge and combine together, that's why we come to Bible class. That's why we grow. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to study? What's the purpose of studying? The purpose is to bring us into a knowledge of what Christ was like, that we can grow and be more Christ-like. He gave us all of that. This should be the aim of all of us, every teacher, every preacher, every member of the Lord's church, every elder, is that we should be working to use everything God gave us to grow, to be more and more like Christ's likeness, in the likeness of Christ, in the mind of Christ. It's written in the scriptures. He said that the apostle said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So when we start studying this text, when he's trying to get them to see that Jesus gave us everything we need. When he did this, he gave us everything we need in the church to get us to be united, to have the knowledge, and to grow in moral character and stature. How we grow. And that's important for us to know, because the next verse says, in verse 14, you need me, all these officers, we need the church, we need, and praying, we're praying as soon we can get back into the building, get back to our Bible class. And we know that COVID disrupted a lot of that, and we finally get back in and all that. But the whole purpose of Bible class and things, the studying of God's Word, is that we need to grow. Why? He said in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children. Children. No more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they are allowed to wait. And you see, he gave us what we need. He filled the church with everything we needed to grow from children to mature Christians. And so children can be tossed to and fro because they don't understand, they don't have the proper knowledge to grow. But they need to grow to a stature of such that there, at some point you no longer call a child. Because children are feeble, children are inexperienced, they're easily deceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul said to the Corinthians, and our brethren could not speak unto you as spiritual, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal, whereas there is among you this type of behavior, envy, strife, divisions, or you are carnal and walk as meat. They were called babes because Paul said you should be more spiritual than you are. And that's what you see today in the church. And what I'm talking about this morning, we need to talk about more about being more spiritual and how we are to behave ourselves. We can't act like children. At some point, you've been in church long enough, you ought to go past being a child, or childlike behaviors, or childlike image, strife, and fuss, and that type of stuff. These Christians were called a babe because of their behavior. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5. Another time he called them babe. Hebrews chapter 5 and 11. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Seeing you are dull of hearing. For time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have the senses exercised both to discern both good and evil. Here the Hebrew writer calls them babe because they should be at a point in their growth that they were actually teachers. He said, you ought to be teaching by now. And that's why we've encouraged many of you, if you haven't, going to the first principle. That's what we call the first principles, correct? Because we've got to get you from that state of being a child to a state of a mature Christian, and you've grown to the point that you can teach others, and you can also have your senses exercised because you're stronger and you're taking in the Word of God, and you're growing, and you're going to become skillful in a way of writing the verses. If you don't come to Bible class, if you only listen to me on Sunday morning and just afternoon, you don't study and you don't take what we give you in the teachings and take notes and learn, you're not going to grow. You're just not going to grow. And so Jesus left us, according to the Ephesians letter, he's saying, I gave you everything that you're going to need to grow. So Paul said, you're going to be tossed about like a wave tossed about. The winds can throw you around, these doctrines, these different beliefs. And we live in a world today that you really got to know that these crazy doctrines out there, and men just say whatever they want to say, and ignore the doctrine of Christ. You can't be thrown around by all that different teaching. You got to come to church, to the worship. You got to come to Bible class. You got to study. You got to come and sit at the feet of a teacher to be taught. That's the purpose of the church as an institution that educates. We are to educate men what they must do to be saved and how to stay saved. Because you got these teachers out there who are cunning, they're crafty, these are false teachers. They're not telling the truth. They use the scriptures and to their benefit. And Paul is saying, Jesus gave us everything we need. He gave us everything we needed. Then he came down, he descended, and then he went back. But when he went back, he didn't leave us empty-handed. He left us with everything we need in the church to make heaven a home, because the devil, certainly those who are going to be slighter men, cunning crafty, they lay in wait to deceive. The whole purpose is to cause us to be lost. It's nothing but the devil. So are you a babe in Christ and you should be growing? This is what Jesus is only our fault if we don't grow. We should grow. We should grow. We don't look for the loan in this text later. Oh, a lot of things we do that are just childlike stuff. Anger, way we behave. We'll see that later on in the text. Not today, but we'll get to it. But the emphasis here is that did Jesus leave us everything in the church so we don't have to be tossed about? So we can understand truth. We can understand doctrine. We can know how to live the Christian life. But he said, with that all this said, Paul comes back in verse 15, he said, but we speak the truth in love. The purpose of telling the truth is never to hurt. And if telling the truth does hurt those who don't want to know the truth. But those who want to know the truth, they're going to take the truth, and we are to speak it in love. And notice it. It may grow. The purpose of teaching truth so that we can grow in all things. So you shouldn't just come out of the baptism pool and not ever go back to Bible class, not ever go study, don't come to worship, don't get back on the afternoon. You're not going to go past being a babe. But the emphasis here is that did Christ leave us that? Yes. He left the Paul said, we speak the truth of love, that you can grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This one who descended down is our head, and he wants to grow in the character, Christ-like traits, the growth. And we'll see that later on. We're going to talk about the new child. When we come underwater, we become new creatures in Christ, and there's a growth process. And that growth process is in place for the purpose of us getting beyond being babe, so we carry out the work of the ministry, and then we can also be edified ourselves. Being the head of the church, Christ then is the source of all of our life, our power, and our growth, that we're going to have while we're in the body, where he's filling out things in the church. Not a board, I draw a circle. And in the church, all these arrows come into the church. Everything we talk about this afternoon, coming to the teachers, coming to church, the pastors coming to church, the prophets are all a part of what we got here. The apostle was a part of it. He did all that while he was here. He established it. Why? He wanted us all to be united in the belief and knowledge. So if you don't study, you're not going to get the proper knowledge that you need to grow and have these Christ-like traits, which should be the growth of all Christians. You know, as you, the older you get, the longer you've been in church, the more your life should be living. Like I said this morning, you shouldn't have to walk around and say, hey, I'm a Christian. You shouldn't, you don't, we don't know you're a Christian by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the things you do, and the things you say, and your faithfulness to the study. Then coming to the building doesn't necessarily indicate you're being faithful. It's your relationship with God, your relationship to your master, which is Christ Jesus himself. So we're talking about a relationship. And then in verse 16, as I close, from verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, talking about Christ, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, talking about the church, in love. So Christ then fitly framed the body of Christ. Like our bodies, we have a head, it's attached to all the skeletal parts. It's fitly joined for the purpose of serving every need this body has. And his feet, same thing with the church. Same thing with the church. Christ put this whole body. That's what the verse before, verse 16, he said that we may go up in him, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So he's the beginning of this body that's fitly joined together. It's like my head, your head is on your one body, and everything on that body is joined together, connected. In the Church of Christ, it's composed of many individuals, all body parts, but different. Brother Stroud, I was talking about that. Man, Brother Stroud, his teaching is different from me, but the same information is shared. We're using the same information. We stay united in faith. We can also have different styles of teaching, and we got different talents. Every individual in the church brings something to the body that's unique to you. And so are you using it? Did God give us everything we need? Yes. But are you using everything he gave us? That's the question. That this body is fitly joined together. And we all should be, should increase in our edifying, the church being edified of itself. All happens within the church. I'm talking about the building, I'm talking about the members of the church. The way God designed it, that all of us got everything we need, brothers and sisters, to make heaven our home. So how do you summarize this lesson? What was this lesson all about? Well, Paul was teaching the Ephesians that basically, if you miss heaven, if you are not growing, it's not because Jesus didn't feel all in all in the body. He gave us everything we need in the body of Christ or in the church so that we don't be tossed about by all these winds of doctrine. We can understand that every Christian is a member of the body and Christ is the head, and every part of the body draws its strength from Christ as a head of the church. That's where we get it from. It's from him. And that's the important thing about this lesson is that you can understand why Paul was telling them we call the Corinthians babes. The Hebrew writer called them babes. They were not growing. And so the work of the church can't be done with members of the Lord's church that are not being fed and because they're dying. It's like your body, if you don't feed this body, my arms are going to get weak, my legs are going to get weak because this body has to be fed. Paul said, hey, y'all still giving y'all some milk. You need to be on some meat. You need to be spiritual. And that's one of the things I'm really working at now is to say, you know, we got to be more spiritual. You know, it's time out for for foolishness or fussing, probably not that we're doing any of that right now, but it can happen at any time. But that's not God's order. God's order, what Jesus came to fill. When he came, as Paul says, that he came there to fill everything that was needed in the church, and he did all of that before he went back to the heavens. In the heaven above heavens, is that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. So what did he do? He gave us apostles, prophets, he gave us evangelists, he gave us pastors, he gave us teachers, he gave us what we needed to be perfected, to grow as Christians. He gave us everything we need in church, to know the work of the church. He gave us everything. He filled everything when he came. He filled everything we would need to come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of him, and to a mature Christian, to measure, to grow. He gave us everything we need to grow in Christ. He gave us everything we need and left us everything so we didn't have to be children, tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine. He gave us everything we need in order to speak the truth in love, that we continue to grow as we identify those areas. In love, we're teaching you, here are the things you need. In Christ being the head, he had joined his body together. He filled it. He fitly joined us all together. And every part of the body belongs to him. And this is a body of a man who came and gave his life. It's love. It's the love story. God so loved the world, he gave his son. And his son then came and fulfilled his father's will. And brothers, as Christians in the church, we just need to examine ourselves to understand, am I taking advantage of everything Christ has left for me to grow, to become a stronger Christian? If you never mentioned the first principle class and the brother Foreman teaches, I think everybody ought to go through the first principle classes. Those are where new converts are taught basic faith building lesson to know what you believe and why. That's the beginning. I remember when I became Christian, I stayed in 2 years and just in the first principle. I contributed that 2 years to my being rooted and grounded in the belief system that I currently have. I got that 37 years ago now. Well, 38. I got that in that first principle class. That knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of the doctrine of Christ. And then I can move past those first principles because there were other teachers, other men and sisters that would teach the younger sisters and men that were teaching the men, and we could all grow together. And Jesus did all of that when he came down, when he descended. And then when he ascended back up, he said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Lord. He's making disciples. Why? All of these disciples would be fitly joined together in the church to carry out the mission. And the mission was to seek and save those who were lost. If you're on a call this afternoon, you just don't feel like you're growing, baby. It's because you're not taking advantage of everything God is doing. It's everything he left us, we got it right here. And we encourage you to be studious, to be faithful, yes, morning service if you can get there. And if you're not sick of shutting in, you come or you can get in the call. You still learn it. And then you're going to get the Bible class and everything kicked back off. You need to be in the class, studying and getting ready. Because you got to grow. But God done his part. Jesus filled all things we need to get to heaven. And I know, like me, like you, I know one day you want to make heaven your home. If you want to call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. Jesus, he did everything you need. He gave you everything. He came down from heaven and glory. He descended. He lived about 33 years on this earth. And there, in the last 24 hours of his life, He was a death row inmate. He was on death row, and he cried in the garden. Let this cup pass. But he understood.
Yeah.
Let this cup pass. He had to. He couldn't do it. He had to die. He understood what he had to do. He had to die. He knew he had to die. And he went six trials at night. Stood for Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in the man. But Jesus knew, I got to go to the cross. I got to go to Calvary. I got to take the spit. I got to take the slapping. I got to take the whipping. I got to wear the thorns. Because this is going to be the body of Christ. And I will be its head, but I got to give them everything they need. So I'm going to go to the cross. And he got there. They nailed him hands and feet. He would hang 6 hours. What was he doing? Killing all things. That's what he was doing. He knew he had to do all this to get us there. He did this that he might fear all things. Then when he built the church, it was by his blood. Acts 20:28. He purchased the church. And then he became the head of the church as a husband here to a wife, Ephesians 5:23. And so with that becomes, the whole body becomes the bride and the head of his Christ. And then they buried him. That blood that he shed, it washed away your sins, as he commanded us to baptize you, because Revelation 1:5 tells us that the blood washed away your sins. So the command to be in the body, every sinner must be obedient to Christ's command and then be washed in the blood. And when you're washed in the blood, then you resurrect a new creature. That's next week. The next part of this chapter is about that new walk. Not as Gentile. We walk as Christian. And so that's coming next. So we're talking about how do you supposed to live after you get in. But you're never going to grow if you don't take advantage of everything you know to get you there. So with him dying and resurrected, he gave the command. And if you want to call today, you have not become a Christian. There's no way for you to make heaven your home until you decide to be obedient to Christ. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by things which he suffered. He made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation. Watch this now. To all them that obey him. And that's what we have to do, be obedient to him. And you obey him by obeying what we call the gospel. And when you obey the gospel, it means you hear it. There's a love story, number one. You must hear it, the word of the gospel, and believe, number two. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. That faith comes by hearing the word of God. And what do we hear specifically is what he told us to preach, the gospel, which is a part of 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. We preach that to every creature. If they believe it, then they ought to be baptized. So third step, you got to listen to it. You got to believe it. You got to repent and say, I do want to be a Christian. I do want to be in the church. I do want to be saved. I do want to grow to be a mature Christian so I can help others. Then you must start your walk as a babe. And when you come up out of the water of baby baptism, you're bathed in Christ. And now you're on your journey to grow to be a mature Christian. And so we baptize you. We can baptize you at any time. You let us know when you're ready to become a Christian. A baptism is for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. Acts 2 and the verse 38. Step 4 would have been you confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And after that, you got to be baptized. And then the Lord adds you to the church. And you come in there and you serve the Lord. You serve him. And you strive to live a life, Christ-like life. That's what it's all about. Did Jesus leave us everything in him? Yes. Paul said he ascended, he descended, he ascended, then he came down, and he might feel all things. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. If you want to call today, you need prayer, please hit 5-star on your phone. If you want to get baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. Let us know where you are, and we'll make the arrangements for you. If you want to call today and you're going through something, a lot of people are going through sicknesses, loss of loved ones. Let's continue to pray for those who have lost loved ones. Let's continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in. If you're on the call and you want to know today that need prayer, go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone and let us know what you need to pray for or make a confession, whatever you need to do. Do that as we sing the song of the curtain.